Good morning and welcome to another episode of the LCS Commute Podcast, the daily podcast made by and for your commute to work. I'm your host, Thomas Baker, aka T-Bakes, and today is Friday, July 1st. Wow, it is already July. That's crazy. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about the matchups going into the weekend in the LCS. I am pulling them up right now before I put the car into drive, because I do not look at my phone when I drive. It's dangerous. Shouldn't do that. Okay, so I'm going to try to memorize these real quick. Saturday, we've got TSMEG, Fly Dig, 100TL, GGIMT, CLGC9. On Sunday, we have Dig TSM, EG GG, C9 Fly, TL CLG, and IMT 100. So day one looks like a lot more contested matchups. Day two looks a little bit more one-sided. More predictable results. So let's talk about Saturday, because that's going to be, it looks like it's going to be the more exciting day, judging off of current power levels. TSMEG. Evil Geniuses look like the best team in the league. I think it's pretty unanimous at this point that's the case. TSM have had some high highs, including their win over Team Liquid, which was pretty decisive, which was surprising. But they've also had some low lows. You know, this would be another big win for TSM. If TSM won here, then I think a lot more people would be on board, considering them a real threat to the top teams. EG is definitely favored. I would say the Spica-inspired matchup and the Mia-Vulcan matchup are going to be the most important. You also have the narrative of, you know, JoJo Pune, the super young rookie mid laner from North America, versus Maple, this behemoth of a international mid laner import. I think that's a pretty fun matchup, pretty fun narrative. Topside, Huni Impact, they're longtime rivals. I mean, not rivals, but longtime opponents in this league. And they've both been top laners on SKT in the past. So, pretty interesting matchups, I would say. I think Evil Geniuses will probably win. But TSM have the tools. I think they have the firepower to win. If they can get a 2v2 kill in bot and neutralize Impact, and, you know, the same way that they did Whippo, I mean, I don't see why TSM couldn't win this game. But it will come down to draft a little bit. It will come down to execution on the day. I would still say it's pretty EG favored, because EG has shown to be the more consistent team so far. Moving on to the next matchup. After that, we've got Fly versus Dig. This should actually be a fun game, I think. Two of the lower teams at the moment. Dig is, I want to say, ninth place. Fly, I want to say, is seventh or eighth. So they're definitely in the same area of the standings currently, and this is an important win for either one of them. You don't want to be a bottom team losing to bottom teams. That's not how you make it into playoffs. And the way that these two teams look, they should be looking for playoffs, which is top eight. Most of the time, to get top six, you need a 50% win rate, meaning you lose against the top teams, you win against the bottom teams. That's how most fifth, sixth place teams look at the end of the season. It isn't totally random 50% win rate. It's generally the teams that finished above you in the standings you couldn't beat, and the team that finished below you in the standings you could consistently beat. I think FlyQuest could be that team. I think they're going to finish around 7th, if I had to guess. I would guess they would finish around 7th. I think I power ranked them at the beginning of the split as 6th. But CLG is the team that's kind of thrown everything off. Both of these teams have weaker new top laners that they brought in between spring and summer. Philip versus Gamsu should be an interesting matchup. Both of them are bottom lane focused, that typically have a pretty strong bottom lane when they win. So Johnson and Afromu were a key piece in FlyQuest almost beating Team Liquid. And then on the other side, Neo and Biofrost, they haven't been as strong this split so far, but last split I thought they were pretty solid for a bottom lane. So when they win, they typically win through bottom lane performances. As I mentioned, I power ranked Fly a little bit higher. I still, even after watching the games, I still think FlyQuest is on a little bit of a higher level than Dig. So I'm going to predict Fly on this one. The next matchup is one of the hype ones, 100 Thieves versus Team Liquid. These are both teams that I have power ranked as first and second, but they have not shown that necessarily up to this point. Holy, those people are slamming on the brakes in the morning. Gotta love it. 100 Thieves, everybody's talking about Abadaga because it's pretty apparent that he has not had a good start to the split. He's starting at fairly large deficits. I have him on my Dynasty Fantasy League, so I am very aware of Abadaga's poor early game, at least. Now, in week one, he did have some solid RE games after, post 15 minutes, even though he started at a deficit and had a couple of deaths in lane. He came back and was making plays, and I think they won 2 out of 3 in week one, and then I think they went 1-1 in week two. So it's not like they're totally losing games or totally getting destroyed or anything like that. It's just that for a team that's been together for over a year now, with the same members, the same coach, you would think they would have more synergy and be a more well-oiled machine at this point, but they just aren't. But I'm not too concerned. Last split, it was kind of the same deal. They started kind of rough, and then eventually Abadaga turned into a different player, and when he does, they elevate to a new level, and they become a title contender. So they won in last summer. They won summer split 1 year ago. They finished second in spring split. They made it to the finals. They beat TL to get there. They beat several people to get there. So you can't really count them out. On the other hand, Team Liquid, they've been the most dominant team so far. But of course, there's a caveat where week two, they were not dominant at all and actually almost went 0-2 against TSM and FlyQuest, which are teams that they should not be losing to. You know, the only teams that Team Liquid should reasonably be losing to at this point are 100 Thieves, Evil Geniuses, Cloud9. Those are the only three acceptable teams to lose. I know CLG is playing well, but CLG, losing to CLG is not in the formula for Team Liquid. And honestly, if we want to be really strict about it, Team Liquid shouldn't be losing to anybody in the LCS. But the only acceptable losses, I would say, would be against Evil Geniuses, Cloud9, and 100 Thieves. Those are teams that they can potentially learn something from. Those are teams that are going to potentially be fighting for those world slots. At least if you lose to them, you can come away with some sense of maybe what to do next. But losing to TSM and then nearly losing to FlyQuest, FlyQuest basically threw the game right into TL's lap after they were winning this, the whole thing. It's not a good sign, but I don't think it completely negates how dominant Team Liquid looked in week one. They looked very, very strong in week one. So if this was just a one-off week, you know, maybe if they stomp 100 Thieves, I think fans are going to jump right back on the TL bandwagon. Like, hey, this team is crazy good, and they can be and should be crazy, crazy good. I'm going to predict them to win. I just can't not predict Team Liquid. That's just how I am. I'm also a Team Liquid beat writer, so maybe I'm a shill. Who knows? Let's take a break right here. I'm going to be back in 1 second. All right, we're back. Going over the weekend's matchups. I'm putting on my sunglasses. I actually have these really cool sunglasses from CLG. If you go to their website, they have a partnership with Goodr, G-O-O-D-R. And they have some pretty cool blue light filter glasses. They also have a pretty cool selection of sunglasses. These are like black frames with that kind of fade on the, I forget what they call this piece. The piece that, the little bar that goes back to hang over your ear. It starts black and it kind of fades into their light blue CLG color. It's got the CLG logo, and then the frames are like a reflective light blue. So they're pretty cool. They seem to work well. Anyway, I digress. I do tend to write about apparel. If you go to thegamehouse.com and you look up some of my articles, I wrote one recently about the best apparel offered by LCS teams right now. That was a pretty good article. And then also following up on that, I wrote my suggestion or my advice for each organization of an item they should make for apparel. So that was super fun. I tend to go to the stores, and ironically enough, I don't actually own that much esports merch, but I like thinking about it. I like theory crafting, like what could Dignitas merch look like, because they hardly have any on their website. If you go to Dig's website, it's basically like 5 basic t-shirts that say Dignitas or have a Dignitas logo, and then like 2 hoodies, and that's it. It's just not a very good offering for somebody who wants to be a fan of Dig. And there are plenty of people. I work with a guy who, they wear stuff just because it looks cool, even if they don't even know what the team is. This guy's got dozens of hats, flat brim hats, for all the different NBA teams, MLB, NFL. and he just likes the different colors. And he buys the hats for the different colors that match his outfits. You know, he's not a fan of any of the teams. He just, or doesn't care about the logos. He just cares about the color and if it looks cool. And I think you could run into similar things in LCS. I've seen plenty of casters wear merch for teams. Obviously, they're fans of the LCS, and they might secretly be fans of a particular org or not, even though they're supposed to be third party. I mean, even though they're supposed to be unbiased casters. But you'll see people wearing merch that they're not even like a huge fan of the organization, and like these Gooder glasses are a good example. I used to be a beat writer for CLG, and that's when I got these. But since then, I haven't really followed CLG that much, you know, because they've just had a terrible time and had some poor decisions. But you know, I still wear the sunglasses because they're cool. Regardless of if I'm a fan of CLG or not, their sunglasses are cool, so I'm gonna wear them. Also, I have the only piece of merch that I've bought. Back in the day, I bought a Cloud9 hat. You know, just a basic black dad hat with the blue C9 logo on it. It was Puma. So I guess it wasn't that long ago because they were sponsored by Puma. Anyway, I'm not, like, I'm a more of a Team Liquid fan now because I'm a beat writer for them. But, you know, I still wear the Cloud9 hat because it's cool. It's black, it's light blue, it matches a lot of stuff. And sometimes you just need to wear a hat. So I think that making solid merch and apparel can gain fans indirectly. Passive fans. It's not going to get you a diehard fan just because of merch, but if you release certain merch, like, people will wear it and be like, yeah, I just really like this FlyQuest jersey with the flowers on it. It's cool. It's soft. It's pretty. It's creative. It reminds me of the environment. Or what have you. Showcase greatness. Anyway, you know I love to go on these little sidebar rants every so often on this podcast because I am speaking right off the top of my head. These are not scripted in any way. I usually don't even think about what I'm going to talk about until I get up and get in the car. So we've got two more matchups for the weekend. For Saturday specifically. We've got Golden Guardians, Immortals. Now, at different points in time over the last couple of years, this matchup would either be Golden Guardians favored or Immortals favored, or they might be bottom teams that are actually pretty competitive with each other. In this case, currently, Immortals seems like by far the worst team in the league. They seem like very disconnected, very disjointed. They seem like no one wants to make a play in the early game. Nobody wants to take any risks. And when they do decide to do something, it fails. Which is a bad feeling. It's a bad look. They got perfect gamed. It's going to take a couple weeks for people to forget that. And they nearly got perfect gamed a second time by Dignitas, who is the second worst team, who is having similar issues. So that looks pretty bad, pretty terrible. Do I think they have the pieces to upset Golden Guardians? Yeah, I think that they, if you look at the roster, I think they totally have the firepower to do something this split other than finish last place. They can at least be competitive with, you know, the bottom four teams, the bottom five teams. I don't see why they couldn't beat Dignitas or FlyQuest or Golden Guardians. But currently, Golden Guardians is a much stronger team than Immortals. And I'm looking for Golden Guardians to win this one pretty one-sidedly. Because I think there are a lot of people who are skeptical of Golden Guardians. They don't think that they are performing up to their full potential. Last split, they were gaining very strong early game leads, and then they just wouldn't close. This split, it doesn't feel quite as dominant in the early game, but similar closing issues, similar issues in the mid to late game. They did change out their bottom lane, Stixxay. But the rest of the team has stayed the same. And most people agreed Stixxay was an upgrade. I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch enough of Stixxay in Academy to know if he would be a clear upgrade over Lost, I think it was, last split. But I still, even taking all of that into consideration, I still think Golden Guardians should win this one pretty decisively. Golden Guardians will take risks. Golden Guardians will make plays in the early game. Golden Guardians, it was Jat on his JLXP who pointed out that they have the highest first three turrets rate in the LCS, which is, you know, the team that takes all three outer turrets first. They have the highest percentage, which kind of adds up. They have a strong early game. They do not have pushover lanes. And, you know, and then they've also shown some creative drafting with the Mundo support. You know, I think that this team has the potential to compete. The Golden Guardians is kind of the gatekeeper between the bottom teams and, like, the middle teams, I would say. Golden Guardians has the potential to be, you know, a fifth or sixth best team. And I thought the same thing last split. And I don't remember where they exactly finished. But fifth or sixth seems like where Golden Guardians wants to be. That's, like, peak Golden Guardians is fifth or sixth. That's where, I don't know if that's where they're aiming. They're probably aiming higher than that. But that's where I see their potential right now. Fifth, sixth. But in order to get there, they need to be winning against FlyQuest, winning against TSM, certainly winning against Dignitas and Immortals. If they can't beat Dig and Immortals, then they're not going to finish 5th, 6th. That's just the way it goes. The way that the league is panning out right now, we have a clear gradient of teams, and Golden Guardians is kind of the maker of their own destiny at this point, where they're either going to finish in the middle of the pack, or they're going to finish towards the bottom. You know, 5th, 6th, and 7th, 8th feel like significantly different positions. 5th, 6th is like, oh wow, like you were close, you know, you were either top half or competing for the top half. 7th, 8th is like, you're not close to top half. You're on a different tier. And I don't think Golden Guardians wants to be in that tier. I think Licorice overall has had a pretty good split. I think that he should be able to compete with Revenge very easily. I think the bottom lanes, I think Lost has been not having a fun time on Immortals. And then, of course, Kenvy. I think we're still waiting on Kenvy to fully turn on, and it's going to take some time. We got to keep in mind, he's a rookie. And this is going to get me on my next sidebar rant really quick, which is we got to stop being so critical. I need the community to stop being so critical of a new player, especially a new North American player, coming into a team that is not a top team. Yes, if you can be a rookie and get put onto a top team, you're going to look good most of the time in your first split or your second split. You know, I'm thinking about somebody like Tactical, who was promoted onto Team Liquid out of the blue due to issues with Double Lift. And that summer, he looked like one of the best bottom laners in the league. But you got to keep in mind, he joined a very strong team. He is getting promoted to a team with the most possible support, the most firepower to help him look good. You know, same thing with like a Licorice on C9. When he joined C9, it's like, yeah, of course he's going to look good. They're Cloud 9. They truck stopped in the middle of the street. I have to go around that one. But when somebody like Dokla joined CLG, which Dokla's been in the LCS before, he's not a completely new player, but when Dokla joined CLG, if CLG wasn't doing so well right now, people wouldn't be so excited about Dokla. But they would just be saying, it's just another guy. Or they might, if CLG was losing, they might make it seem like Dokla isn't that good. And it's terrible. It just doesn't really encourage new players to join bottom teams, which is what we need to do. We need to encourage new North American players to join bottom teams. They need to get into the LCS and compete, even if it's on a bottom team. People need to be more objective about that individual player's gameplay. It's kind of like that one Hotline Leak caller that was talking about, which player was he talking about? He was talking about Core JJ, maybe, or Vulcan. He was talking about a support player. I can't remember who it is, who it was, but he kept saying, like, just based on eye test, they're not that good. They're just not that good. And just from watching their games, they're not that good. And Dokla is saying, like, well, how? I understand that's what your opinion is, but how are you getting to that conclusion? And the guy is basically just reiterating, like, oh, I'm just watching the games. It's, you know, you can just watch the games and see. And it's like, yeah, but what are you measuring the success on? And this is a problem that I think a lot of LCS fans run into is, how are you measuring success? How are you measuring if somebody played well or not if their team loses the game? Because we've all played solo queue and been in that game where you play fine, but your team or something happens on the map that makes it so you just really can't win and you're going to have a hard time. You know, you can be doing fine in top lane, and bottom lane is running it, and their jungler pulls off the dive, and their mid laner overextends, and he dies, and then the jungler is getting invaded, and you're trying your best to hold on to your lead, but, you know, there's only so much you can do. Anyway, real quick, because I'm already here. CLG C9, that's the last game of Saturday, which is probably going to be the most exciting one. I think CLG might win. I might be a CLG believer. I might be wearing these sunglasses with pride. I'm just going to have to cut it there, unfortunately. My rants kind of took up too much time, but yeah, watch the LCS this weekend. Let me know if you have any questions or comments. You can drop them in the Anchor, or you can put them on the Twitter. I will be sharing this episode momentarily. Let's have a great day. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week.